people sacrifices for some time now. And tonight I'd like to talk about obeying the intent of the tabernacle sacrifices, not the finite letter of the law they pictured. Obeying the intent of the tabernacle sacrifices, not the finite letter of the law they pictured. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, we find God evaluating sacrifice with obedience. And we find a very direct contrast to what many people believe about the Old Testament sacrifices. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Saul had just returned from a mission that God had directed his paths through the direction of Samuel. And instead of obeying God, Saul had brought back sacrifices, in spite of the fact God had told him to kill all the animals. It would seem certainly on the surface to be a very nice thing to do, and certainly in today's modern religious circles, this act of kindness toward God would have been applauded. But God is not after embellishments. He doesn't want man's accolades hung on what he has to say. God knows what he's doing, and we don't. And so it was far better for Saul to have obeyed God than to have decided to do something that he felt would honor God. And there is certainly a question as to whether or not he really intended to offer them for sacrifices. We find Isaiah in Isaiah 1 and 11 saying, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats." Today in our churches we have been given certain ordinances by our Lord, namely baptism and the Lord's Supper. And it is certainly imperative that we observe these ordinances exactly as God has directed. But if these ordinances become our gods, and we believe that once we have mastered believing in salvation by grace, security of the believer, baptism by immersion by the authority of the local church, the Lord's Supper is a closed ordinance of the church, and the church is local and visible. Once we have mastered those principles, then somehow this makes us on a very high plane to where we can look down upon others and feel very proud of ourselves. If we fail to build love and to extend an evangelistic outreach to a lost and dying world, and if we fail to make an effort to disciple those around us and to let the light of God's love shine in their hearts, with us being used as the instruments whereby that light shines into their heart through the spoken word of God or the taught word of God, then we have sat down on the ordinances, happily awaiting the return of our master, and are not actively engaged in our Father's work. Certainly, as a very staunch landmark missionary Baptist, it is no secret that I place tremendous emphasis on the Lord's Supper, baptism, and the other doctrinal truths which we present. But if we fail to build love and compassion and mercy on those ordinances, then we are doing the same thing that the scribes and Pharisees did, in that they took these sacrifices and all the meticulous laws, and they tithed and did everything they should do to meet the strict religious requirements, and were very meticulous in so doing, and yet they lost their zeal and their love for being the evangelistic nation that God meant for them to be. Instead of growing in love and letting that be built on the commands that God gave them in the tabernacle, they turned inward. Instead of looking to the picture that these sacrifices all portrayed, instead of letting it direct them to the love and compassion of God, who was going to send them a Messiah, they turned inward and became hardened in heart. In Micah 6:6-8, we find the same basic principle of legalism versus love. Legalism is not legalism if love is built on legalism, and legalism is the foundation of it. Legalism is when one strictly adheres to all the meticulous sayings that God has given and obeys them to the nth degree, and yet fails to reach out in love and compassion and mercy toward others. Micah 6:6-8. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth God the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? No, God was not pleased with the sacrifices per se, but he was pleased with what those sacrifices pointed to. They pointed to the coming love and mercy and justice, and the right to walk with a humble heart filled with the compassion of Christ by God. The scribes and Pharisees turned inward. They settled on their haunches, tried desperately to obey the commandments, and instead of seeing themselves as the sinners they were, they actually began to look down their long pointed noses at all the publicans and at all the Pharisees. Not the Pharisees, but the publicans and the sinners. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? A little later on in this tape, we're going to be taking a look at some of those things that they failed to do. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. You know, he actually showed them. And I think in today's society, with all the volumes of literature we have interpreting God's Word, and the better covenant, the new covenant that he's given us, we are without excuse for not understanding the things of God that he has revealed to us. God showed them many things in the Old Testament. He showed it to them in the sacrifices. He showed them to them in the tabernacle. He showed it to them in the temple. He showed all these beautiful pictures of pointing forward to a deliverance that he planned to give. And yet they were blind. I really believe that instead of taunting Nicodemus when he came to him by night, I honestly believe that Nicodemus should have understood what the Lord was trying to tell him. And if he had understood the sacrifices and had diligently applied himself to God's word and those before him, then the word of God would have instructed them of many things. We now have the completed covenant, the new covenant, a better covenant. We are told to desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. We can understand what the church is. We can understand the love of God manifested in the church. We can understand that the Lord himself organized the church during his earthly ministry. We can understand that he immersed it in his spirit at Pentecost. We can understand that he indwells each one of his local visible assemblies. He has given us so much instruction that's there available for anyone who wants to partake of it. And yet many people only partake of it when they come to church on Sunday. Sometimes on Wednesday night. If we would pray and ask God to help us, we would not be guilty of what they did in the Old Testament. Instead of taking God's word line by line, precept by precept, concept on concept, they turned away from it and turned inward to their own self-righteousness. It's my hope and my prayer that that won't happen in your life. It's also my hope and my prayer that it won't happen in my life. Is in the same boat that Israel was in. I think Israel got away from the Word of God. I think they learned what to sacrifice, how to sacrifice it, added a lot to it, made it into a meticulous ritual, and then they got as far away from the heart and intent and purpose of it as they could, and God just kind of left them alone. He hath showed thee. Well, how did he show them? He showed them through the sacrifices and his continual mercy and forgiveness over and over again.
He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? What good is it going to do us as a church? And what good is it going to do you individually if you have all this head knowledge, and you know exactly when the church was organized, and you know precisely when the immersion came upon the first New Testament church, and you understand the principle of the Lord Spirit in the church, and you've got the church question all figured out, and you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit all figured out in the Holy Spirit. You've got all that figured out. And you've got a tremendous bunch of head knowledge. And you've studied the scriptures, and you can teach, and you can preach, and do everything you should. If you don't do justly, and if you don't love mercy, and you don't walk humbly with thy God, what good's all that? The scribes and Pharisees, by the time Jesus had come along, had gotten in that state. They were tithing of mints, and they had added in the Mishnah, the Talmud, the Tosefta. They had added all this stuff in, and they were going lickety-split with it. And they were improving on what God gave them, supposedly, and making it even more difficult. So they didn't have any trouble with the sacrifice. They didn't have any trouble with tithing and the mint and everything else they gave. But they had a lot of trouble with this. What good is God's church to people if it's legalistic? What good is it if all we pride ourselves in is being right? If we don't walk justly, we don't love mercy, and we don't walk humbly with our God, then has it accomplished what it was supposed to do? Has the fact that we're practicing the Lord's Supper correctly, the fact that we're baptizing correctly, has it shown us in our lives the things that we're supposed to be doing with and for the Lord? Has it changed our attitude? Can you honestly say that your attitude toward God is better now than it was a year ago? Can you honestly say it's better than it was 5 years ago? People that are legalistic get in a rut, and they get so deeply embedded in it, they don't even realize they're in it. And pretty soon, when they're down deep enough in it, and you try to get them out, instead of accepting it, they just get deeper and deeper and deeper into it. Matthew 9:11-13. And when his disciples saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Well, when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Yeah, I pastor here, and yeah, I teach all those things, and I believe all those things. Salvation by grace, secure the believer, baptism by immersion by the authority of the local church, the Lord's Supper is the closing orders of the church. I understand all that. But one of the reasons I do as many meetings as I do is certainly not for the money. I'm retired from the Air Force. I can live on what I make and what you pay me. The reason that I do that is a very simple one. I come in contact with a lot of publicans, and I come in contact with a lot of sinners. And when I go to these churches and we go out in the community and the pastor goes around and we go to different places, I get an opportunity to see what the publicans and sinners are really like. And they need Jesus, and they need him bad. This is my place of refuge. This is where I come to lick my wounds and to recover. This is my healing place. I come here because the church is very kind and very generous and very merciful and very graceful. So I creep in here on Saturday. I come in, I preach and teach. Enjoy the comfort of being among people that love me and care for me. It's a healing ministry. It helps me tremendously, and when I'm home a week, I get a good week's rest. And then I go back out again. But one of the problems that the publicans had wasn't that they were money changers. And the problems that the sinners had, it wasn't the problem they were sinners. These Pharisees and scribes thought they were whole. They thought they had achieved some level of godliness. And all they were legalists. If all we base our lives on are what we practice in the ordinances that God gave us, and we don't have an interest in people that are lost, then we're their major problem, because we need to talk to them. And you got to start at a pretty basic level. When I was in Canada, you wouldn't believe what I saw up there. You won't believe what I'm going to see in Lithuania. But these people need the Lord. And so we've got to come out of our shells and start talking to some of these people and not draw ourselves inward and just become a bunch of legalists. But go and learn what that meaneth. Now look, scribes and Pharisees were still sticking to all the sacrifices. Man, they had it up here. They knew what to tithe, what not to tithe. They know about Corban. They knew about everything. They were wise. They were the religious leaders. They were the ones in touch with God. But they sure didn't want to get out there and deal with any of those publicans or sinners. instead of going to them and teaching them and talking to them and witnessing to them, they withdrew themselves from them. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy. Look up there. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. The sacrifices were supposed to show people what was good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? But go ye and learn what that meaneth. They saw themselves as whole. They felt themselves superior to the publicans and sinners. I'm going to tell each one of you something, and I'll turn and tell you to your face. You're the same rotten, ungodly sinner you were the day you were saved in the flesh. And when you lose that insight and get away from it, then you don't need to change anymore. You've already got your attitudes all figured out, and you've already got the mindset that you want, and it's necessary for other people to change, but not you. And I point my finger exactly at myself. Because when you forget what you are, a publican, who but for the grace of God would have gone straight to hell, and when you stop beating on your breast and say, God be merciful to me, a sinner, then you're headed right down the trail of legalism. Legalism is something that involves your own idea that you're okay, you're fine, you've got an inside with God, and you don't have time for those publicans and sinners. And learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. These scribes and Pharisees thought they were righteous. If you ever get the feeling you're righteous, other than the fact that it's the imputed righteousness of Christ, you've gone too far. Because in your flesh is the same ungodly, unrighteous creature that came out of your mother's womb. And if God hadn't spared you and saved your soul, you wouldn't even be able to know who he was or what he's about or understand his word. And sometimes we tend to forget what we are. We lose our gratitude towards God, and we become self-centered, self-serving, and self-interested, and we don't possess these qualities. Now notice in Matthew 12, 1 through 8. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath through the day through the corn, and his disciples went hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? And he goes on to talk about David, because the promise is to come through David. And if they had listened to what David said, they wouldn't have had that attitude. How he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. God's merciful. If somebody was starving, they were starving. Absolutely starving. If we were starving, do you think it would be wrong for us to eat the bread that we had for the Lord's Supper? I don't. Because God is merciful. And God is understanding. And he is not a God who gives something that is going to hurt his people and be cruel toward them. Now that doesn't mean I approve of children going up there and getting the grape juice after it's over, eating bread. I don't approve of that. But I'm talking about the fact that our God is a merciful God and a loving God and a compassionate God. And these scribes and Pharisees had withdrawn within themselves. And they were so meticulous in everything they did, they had forgotten the purpose of the law. They had forgotten the justice of God. They had forgotten the mercy of God. They had forgotten the love of God. And all they were just people that were keeping a bunch of rules. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have blamed, condemned the guiltless. If they had come to understand what God was really like, they would have recognized the Son. They would have known who he was. And they would have understood that the one who gives the law is the one who overrides the law and the one who controls the observance or the changing of it. But they did not recognize him as Christ because their version of God was in a God without mercy, without love, without compassion, without kindness. And you appeased him with all these sacrifices and blood and gore that was offered. They did not know him personally. They did not know him as a friend. I assure you that I would have gotten out of the ministry a long time ago if I had not known him as a friend. I don't always stay in friendship with God. He's always in friendship with me, and I don't always stay in fellowship with God. But I know this. The God whom I know and whom I worship is a God who gave us certain ordinances to perform, and by the grace of God in Christ Jesus, I will perform them meticulously until the day I die. But those things are things on which love is supposed to be built, in mercy and compassion and kindness. If we draw ourselves into a shell and we fail to let our lives count for something among people, and we don't go out to people and extend the Word of God to them, then what good are all these ordinances and regulations that God's given us? God gave them. I thank God for them. I appreciate them. I respect them and I admire them. But they are not my God. That doesn't mean I'm going to change them. But it means that God gave them so we could have a change of attitude. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. And David was a very simple man in the flesh. We all are. But David's were particularly disgusting. He committed open adultery with a man's wife. And it was bad. But the horrible part was this man loved David. This man was loyal to David. He cared for David. And he was a soldier, and he fought for David. And David betrayed him. David committed adultery with his wife. And then to add even more dishonor, he tried to cover it up and brought Uriah home so he could sleep with Bathsheba, make him think that he had gotten her pregnant. But when Uriah sat outside of the door of the house and said, "I will not do so, for I will not be disloyal to my king." And he said, "It is not fair for me to sit here with my men in battle." And David then told his general to put him in the front line where he was sure to be killed. He committed murder. He committed adultery. He numbered the tribes. David's sins were very grievous. But there's one thing about David. When David knew he was wrong, and when God's Holy Spirit would finally break through that veneer of flesh, David was a man who would fall down on his face and praise God for whatever God did to him. That was a man after God's own heart. People can be sinful in the flesh. People can have a terrifying creature that lives in their flesh. And yet if they're trying to please God, and if when they see they're wrong, then they confess it and they try to make their lives right with God. That's what this is all about. That's what all the sacrifices were for. That's why Christ came. They pictured him. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. So don't tell me they couldn't understand in the Old Testament. David did. Now, those offerings were very important to those people. And yet David understood, because he went on to say, "Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me." David knew about the Messiah. David didn't know all the things he was going to do, even though he wrote about some of them. But David believed in a messianic promise. And David understood a lot of things God wrote a lot better than the high priest of those days, and the priest of those days, I should say. He said, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." That's the key right there. That's what it's all about. It's a matter of the heart. Tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about, because I do. I've been to lots of churches and seen lots of people saved. Deacons. I've seen preachers saved. And they would stand for the Lord's Supper, and they would stand for baptism, they would stand for a local church, they'd stand for security of the believer, they'd stand for salvation by grace, and brother, they were solid to the core. The only problem was their heart wasn't right. And if you don't let the mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, and if you don't grow from all this, then what good is it? If all I do is stand up there and preach and learn and teach and pass this on to you, and I don't apply it to my own heart and life, then what good is it? And if you learn it and you don't practice it, then what good has it been? It's just something you're accountable for because you've been exposed to it. Don't get so caught up in God's work that the work becomes your God. And don't get caught up in anything and let it be your God. And let your heart be right toward God. Practice those ordinances because God gave them. And then go out and do in your life and heart and let him transform your mind with his word. These people wouldn't let God transform their heart with his word. The law was more than just sacrifice. It was more than just the Ten Commandments. It was a way of life. It was the word of God. The two are used interchangeable. But Israel would not let it transform their lives. What good is it going to do you if you are a faithful member of one of God's churches for 50 years and you're the same miserable, complaining, grumbling gripe that you were the day you got saved? What good is it going to do you if you expected everybody else to grow but you never grew yourself? What good is God's word to you if you don't apply it? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Israel, we make fun of. But we're doing pretty much the same thing. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. I want you to notice David's 40, Psalm 46 through 8, and now we go to Hebrews 10, 4 through 10. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hath thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. That one lone, single, solitary body that was prepared in the womb of the Virgin Mary by an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit of God, wherefore God was brought forth as a sinless man, coming to this world without the sin of Adam, and coming in and living a perfect, sinless life, and laying that body on the cross. That's what all this pictures. Now, do you really think that when we arrive in heaven, we're all going to get a big pat on the back because we believe in salvation by grace, secure as a believer, baptism by immersion, by the authority of the local church, the Lord suffers a closed church, ordinance of the church, and the church is local and visible? Yeah, we will. But if it wasn't a part of our heart, and if our heart wasn't right in it, and we weren't doing it out of obedience and love towards God and anticipation of his coming in the case of the Lord's Supper, and if we weren't doing it because we really do care whether people have scriptural baptism, because that's important to God. If we weren't doing it because it was important to God and we understood it and it meant something to us and we were trying to please God in what we were doing and it was just something that we could spit out our mouths and never had any conviction about, then what good did it do us? And how are we going to explain to God that we had everything all figured out about the baptism, the church, the Lord's Supper, but we tended to treat the rest of the people like they were social outcasts, and we were afraid of them when we had the creator of the universe living inside us, and we're ashamed to talk to them about Jesus? I think we're having a lot to answer for at the judgment seat of Christ. You can get the letter of the law and get it right, and you should. But the truth of the matter is, if that letter of the law is all you got, well, I thank God you got that. But if you don't have a heart that's changing week by week, month by month, year by year, day by day, and you're waiting for everybody else's to change, you're never going to change. Thou hast been said, I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. Over and over again, throughout the Old Testament, beginning with Moses, a prophet like unto me shall God raise up, Moses said. Him shall you hear. Even the promised seed in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3:15. You can go through and you can pick Christ out throughout the Old Testament. That's what it was all about. Now answer me honestly. We meet in here as a Missionary Baptist Church. And I'm your pastor. And I go to about 30 to 35 churches a year. And you, many of you, you've been to church after church. You've been all over the place. This is the one who came to save us. How much am I like him? How much are you like him? You say, well, I've reached my zenith. No, you're still at rock bottom because you're a scribe, a hypocrite, and a Pharisee. Anyone who thinks they don't need spiritual growth and doesn't need a change of attitude and doesn't need to be more Christ-like is somebody that's in serious trouble with themselves and have no internal peace whatsoever and are always looking for something to justify themselves and their own opinions and ideas rather than let the Spirit of God touch their heart. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as a church, we have an obligation to God, not just to get the technical parts correct, but to get those parts correct that have to do with dealing with the lost. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hath pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Well, he took away the first. And then, on the church he organized during his earthly ministry, at Pentecost, the Spirit of God came down and settled on each one of them as cloven tongues of fire. Before, the Spirit of God had come down on the sacrifices and had consumed them. But this time he came down on human beings who were his first church, about 120, sat on each of them. Why? Because they were the living sacrifices that he wanted. And when you finally get to the point where you're willing to present your body a living sacrifice unto God, and you're willing to make your life count for something in God's service, and you stop fooling around and playing games with God and with yourself, then you'll find an inner peace and satisfaction in life that God meant for you to have. Yes, Christ did take away the law, but he replaced it with something much better. And if we have a better covenant, we do, then we're more accountable to God to spread that covenant and to tell people about the one who came and the true blood that was shed. But we're doing the same thing Israel did. We're complacent with ourselves. And most preachers are a lot like me. What they'd like to have is an upper middle class family join the church with no problems. No troublesome kids, no problems. They already give a lot of money, everything's fine. Upper middle class, probably about in their 40s, love the pastor, never give you any trouble, never give you any problems. That's what most missionary Baptist churches are looking for. While on the other side of the tract are a bunch of smelly people that stink, a bunch of people that are low in class. But we don't really want them because they're hard to teach. You have to go through a lot of adversity with them. Well, if we don't get out and tell them, and if we don't get out and talk to them, then we're just like the scribes and Pharisees, and we look at them like sinners, ungodly people. They're not like us. The only reason that we have an insight into what God is like is by the mercy of God through the new birth. We owe God everything. He doesn't owe us a blinking thing. But God gives us an opportunity in this life to make our life count for something. We need to do that. Not just the letter of the law, but the heart of the law. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. One of the things I've always admired about Shirley, she finally quit doing it. She used to come to me all the time, and she'd say, "Brother Michael, Brother Tom, I'm just not doing enough for the Lord." Constantly. Finally, one day I told Shirley, I said, "Shirley, if you ever get to the point where you feel you're doing enough for the Lord, you come and tell me, because that's when I need to talk to you. Because the truth of the matter is, anytime you get to feel like you're doing enough for the Lord, you're in bad, bad, bad spiritual condition. But when you feel you're not doing enough for the Lord, there's always that incentive to do better. I thank God for the truth, and I thank God that I'm the pastor of this church, and I thank God for what I've been taught by some very wonderful men and women about the ordinances of the church and salvation and all that. But I tell you what, if all this wonderful knowledge we've accrued down here and all these terrific things that God has given us to understand and worship him through, if we don't share Christ with people, we're making a big mistake. And I appreciate Harold and Nelda going out to Cleveland Springs. That's a pretty rough cut bunch out there. But the truth of the matter is, they've got a work to do out there. We need to pray for them. They've got some people out there in those boonies that need Jesus. We got some people here in town that need the Lord. And so as God gives us opportunity, let's take the time when we see him to talk to him about the Lord. And there's always a way. There's always an opportunity. If you get up every morning wanting to do what God wants and then letting God use you that day, being willing, God will open up more opportunities than you can imagine. And the church at Lewisburg's gone through a lot of trouble, but John's going to go down there now, and they're having more people, as he indicated, coming back, and there'll be an attraction for some people there that may not know Christ. Seeing a few souls down there could give that church a real shot in the arm, give God's work a real shot in the arm. So let's pray for the Cleveland Springs Church, and let's pray for Lewisburg, and let's pray for ourselves. This church is not short on knowing what the truth is, but we may be a little bit short, well, we are, on sharing our testimony with others. We need to do that. Brother Jack Branch, would you dismiss?